Welcome to the Acro Chats podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the practice of acrobatics in the global acro community. I'm Sean.
And I'm Emily. We're partners and teachers based out of New York City, and we love acro. Each week, we dive into acro topics, including training tips and methodology, happenings and history of the practice, and interviews with acro practitioners from around the world.
Come hang with us as we explore the world of acro and its global community.
We're back.
It's Acro Chats with Emily.
And Sean.
Cool.
I feel like we do that joke every time.
We did a little bit different this time, so I'll take it.
Yeah, if you're listening in like 2045 in the future, it's 2021, last week of the year. It's been wild.
Yeah, age of Omicron.
This fourth wave of this virus called COVID in New York City. Maybe someday we'll do an episode on it.
Hopefully COVID's a thing of the past in 2045.
God, I hope so.
Well, I mean, maybe the Earth is a... is being listened to by, like...
other issues, yeah.
This is being listened to by, like, aliens. So, wow. They spend all this time standing on their hands.
Well, so the aliens are going to get to hear us again today talk about handstands.
So, we've talked about handstands, and we shall talk about handstands again. This one is going to be about beginning handstands. So, how do we learn how to handstand? Who can learn how to handstand?
Where to start?
So, who can learn how to do a handstand? So, age is not really the biggest factor. Like, you know, there's different things that come along with aging and, like, lifestyle changes that might make it that, like, if you're a lot older, it may be a much slower process and you may need to be more careful in the process. But really, you know, having a baseline level of physical fitness and particularly mobility and strength.
Yeah, I would say partly it kind of depends on, like, how you're defining handstand, as far as who can handstand. You know, if being upside down on your hands in some way counts, I would say handstand is available to more people than you would think.
Yeah, I would say if the goal is to just be up on your hands, inverted, and, you know, maybe we talk about using a wall or your feet are just on something elevated, or maybe it's more something like a spotted handstand, that's still practicing handstands and you're still doing handstands. But, like, yeah, that's a practice too. But if we're talking about someone who is able to be in the middle of a room or away from, like, any wall and kick up into a handstand and stay and then come down with control at a time that they choose, then, you know, there's a little bit of a higher bar to that. Still not... to get to that level of handstand, still quite accessible to many people. But yeah, in this episode, we'll talk through, you know, some of the baseline requirements we might look at, some of the ways that we can prepare, some of the ways that we can... resources that we can look towards to get the information we need.
And kind of our sort of beginner guidelines. We have a pretty succinct, I think, philosophy in starting a handstand practice.
Yeah. So, you know, Emily and I both learned how to do handstands as adults.
I was 30.
I was a... well, I learned how to balance a handstand when I was, like, 22-ish. But, like, you know, I had a lot of experience trying to, like, kick up into... and walk around on my hands trying to do handstands on skateboards. Never with much, like, success or balance, but, like, you know, doing these kind of, like, party tricks was not, like, out of my realm.
I could always headstand also.
Yeah.
So when I was, like, a little kid, I took baby gymnastics for maybe, like, a year. And then I danced. And for some reason, like, headstand sometimes shows up in choreography. And I could always cartwheel.
Yeah. Emily has a great cartwheel. Yeah. And, you know, like, I I also kind of had that, like, a little bit of exposure to, you know, skateboarding was definitely made me put my hands on the ground and try to do stuff, like, a lot. Like, there was a trick that was kind of like a one-arm freeze that I would try to do. That was kind of like the original one-arm handstand I ever attempted. But, you know, like, it was not until, like, I was in my, I was, like, 22-ish, I learned how to kick up and balance in one spot in a handstand and then come down. And it's been a evolving process since then. So what age, Emily, would you say is a good age to start?
I mean, you know, like, I don't like to focus on this too much because I feel like there's a lot of shoulda, coulda, woulda. In a perfect world for my acro practice, I wish I had started handstanding when I was 5, you know? But I think there's really no age that's too old to learn handstands, as long as you can, with a reasonable level of comfort, put your hands on the floor and also have some amount of, like, shoulder strength to support your body weight, right? So, like, the mobility of a forward fold, basically, and shoulder strength to support yourself.
Yeah. So there's, like, Emily's kind of, like, getting at what does it take to do a handstand? So, like, to be able to enter up into handstands, you have to be able to touch the floor. Mm-hmm. And then, depending on what entrance you want to use, the split jump is usually, like, the easiest way. It takes kind of the least shoulder power to be able to get up. You need to have some level of split. Like, if you, you know, like, if you can do a low lunge where you're, there's, like, a straight line between your knee and your two knees, mm-hmm. that's plenty. And it doesn't need to be with any kind of strict spine. Because, you know, a handstand, we talk about, like, good handstand or, like, the perfect straight body handstand technique as being, like, a hollow body. But for a beginner, arching into a handstand is completely fine. It just becomes, like, what do you want to do with it? And I think that's kind of when we talk about beginning handstands and, like, how old do you need to be to, or how old can you be and still start? I think just, like, being realistic about what your expectations are, and then that, or, like, you know, taking into account, like, what are your expectations? So if someone's goal is to just be able to balance a handstand because, like, they want to be able to experience that.
Do it at a wedding here and there.
Then that's something you can do. Like, you can learn that at, I have seen people at least in their 50s learn how to balance a handstand. And I'm pretty sure people have learned in their 60s, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's getting, once you get up there, it becomes a hard thing to learn it. I've seen people who can still do handstands.
I'm thinking of someone specific that we know through acro who's, you know, like a woman in her 60s, I believe.
She's
quite fit.
I think she's 67.
And she's going to be able to balance a handstand for sure.
Yeah, she flew a standing hand-to-hand on me, like, in a park. And I found out her age later, that she was, like, 67. But, like, you know, if you take care of yourself, you can be resilient. And I'm thinking about another woman who's actually learning how to handstand now, and she's taking her online classes, and she's, I believe, 50. So you can... The big thing that, like, we've been talking about is, like, if you have that mobility and that strength that kind of supports the practice. Because if you can attempt these things having never done similar movements before, but it's just going to be I don't want to say a struggly process, but it's going to be a longer process.
I mean, if the only thing you've done for the last 5 years is work 12 hours a day at a desk, like, I would say some pre-training before starting a handstand practice is going to be pretty necessary. And I also think that we're both, you know, like, we both pursue a fairly high-level handstand practice, but I think both really support the idea of like not letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. Like if you are someone that's starting in their 50s or 60s and you feel like maybe you're a little stiff or your shoulders don't go all the way overhead very easily, like you don't have to harp on this perfect line and do all of these wall drills and perfect the shape before you're ever allowed to try to balance a handstand. There are some coaching programs that kind of teach in that way. And I think it just becomes really, really frustrating for an adult learner sometimes.
Yeah. So I think when people like are trying to learn it when they're a little bit older or even just like don't come from like as, you know, my movement background wasn't like the perfect thing to prepare you for handstands. Like I did martial arts and skateboarding, but there are two like, they're both of them have like acrobatic moments that are kind of related to it. And like a level of fearlessness comes along with it. But then, you know, like yoga was I started doing yoga when I was in college, like a little bit older. And that kind of introduced me to like crow poses and, you know, I would go to the gym and I would work out and I would try to like fit in some like handstand push-ups at the wall. And I'm honestly not sure how low I went, but I'm kind of imagining it wasn't very, but yeah, like I spent, before I got like into this, like I want to be able to balance a one-arm handstand and I want to do a figa sort of mode. Like it was just like handstands kind of existed and I just had my like life and the handstands were over there and sometimes I would see one and get excited and try a few things.
And now
I wake up. Yeah. I mean, when you put it like that, but yeah, it's a wonderful life.
And I just, you know, want to be clear that we're not like making this sweeping generalization that if you're over 50, you're stiff and weak. And if you're under 50, you're like more well prepared for handstands. Like we've had, you know, we've seen stereotype busting in every age category. You know, we certainly have people coming in to acro as like a social activity that they do in their 20s because they grew up really unathletic and, you know, played a lot of video games and then went to college for some really difficult academic subject. And like, they're only 25, but this is the first movement that they've done, you know, and that's that road to handstand. It is still possible.
Yeah.
And then there's really fit people in their 50s and 60s where they have a pretty easy time getting to handstand.
Yeah, a little bit of a tangent, but okay. I'll just say it anyway. Acro yoga was actually really big in me learning how to handstand. Because it was one of the first times I could stay in an inversion indefinitely. Because of poses like star. It was star. That was the pose. So star is you're holding hands. So you can imagine the base is laying on their back and the flyer stands by the base's head. They connect hands and then the flyer's shoulders are on the base's feet and they go up into an inversion. So that pose gave me an ability to like go up into an inversion in a straddle, which like I wasn't jumping to straddles before. It gave me an opportunity to practice different types of jumps going up. And then it gave me opportunity to go into a straight line. Now other things like headstands can do this for people, but headstand puts like a lot of pressure on your neck potentially. And if you're new to inverting, like it can be kind of an abrupt entry point.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about acro and sort of acro yoga in its sort of recreational, like social form, there is this element of like balancing, and it's not even necessarily balancing your own body. You know, if you're basing someone, you're still experiencing what an inverted shape balancing requires. You know, so it's kind of a lot of information gathering that you may not be accessible because you're not yet strong enough or mobile enough for like a handstand practice.
Yeah. And, you know, through acro, like, you also start to learn about like body shapes. You start to learn about like arch and hollow. And then you get to use these coming in and out of kind of like easier things, or like you get to do just like the kicking over part of the handstand, and then you wind up in a pose, or you're in a pose and then you do like a walk over through a handstand, and you build like strength and awareness that way. But coming back to like when we're starting a handstand, so let's say that we have some experience doing something like yoga. We've had some experience like moving our body. We're generally in shape. How can we start practicing handstands if we have minimal information to start? I'll start us off. Thanks, Emily. I think that it is great to just, if you think that you're interested in doing handstands, try. Just like try what you can. And like, you know, you might not try the right thing, but you tried something and you've gotten in this mode now of, this is something that I'm interested in and this is something that I'm willing to try at. And then you can build from there when you run into sticking points.
I think like keeping handstands like behind a locked golden gate as like this mysterious, like special skill, especially for adults. There is, I think this is a difference between children and adult learners. There's definitely the element of fear for people starting as adults. I think, or the idea of a consequence to an action, I think is maybe the more specific way to say it. Like, I think kids, they're happy to like kick up in their backyard and like literally fall on their back and just kind of laugh about it. And the more experience you have in life, the more you sort of realize like, I don't want that feeling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And kids also, they don't have any knowledge of it. So if they are actually given proper instruction, like they can be extremely receptive to it because that's all they know to be true. And like, so there is like this advantage to being like trained how to do this as a kid. And for that reason, like people that do some form of gymnastics from a young age, they ultimately, it seems, have the potential to kind of reach the top tier of like handstand ability. But, you know, that's just like one thing that they happen to be able to do, and you can still be a perfectly adequate handstander even if you have not done gymnastics at a high level since the time you were 5.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you're starting, you've never done a handstand before, using your intuition, we definitely encourage. Like maybe you've taken some yoga, you know what a down dog is, you know what kind of hopping forward to the front of your mat is like. Start working on those sorts of movements.
Go slow, take video of what you're doing and like look at it and like try to like see what's happening and like troubleshoot a little bit.
Maybe you have a sort of an idea of like what a cartwheel looks like or is. Anything where your hands are on the ground and your feet leave the ground is a great place to start.
Yeah. You know, if you have friends that do handstands, a lot of times they'll be really like willing or even eager to like share. So if you're just like, hey, what's one thing I can practice or to work on my handstand? Or you should say like, hey, can you look at this? But, you know, there's also something to be said for getting, like, specific coaching from someone that really knows their stuff. Because, you know, handstands can be a very long process. Well, depending on how far you want to take it and, like, where you're coming from. But handstands, you know, we want to make it as easy of a process to learn it as possible. So, you know, for some people, like, they're not going to want to do, like, a one-on-one private lesson as the first experience with doing a handstand. So, like, that's just, like, that's, like, the highest amount of commitment you can kind of put into it.
some people really like one-on-one format, just for like learning something new and as an adult. Some people have like self-consciousness about being in a group class, and not knowing the skill very well and kind of being unsure of what is required in the skill. And also just, you know, flexibility of scheduling and that kind of thing. One-on-one coaching is an option.
One drawback might be if that's your main form of instruction, for one, it's pricey, so it's easy to kind of...
max out.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of be like, maybe not this week, and then your practice falls to the side a little bit. But, you know, it can be a really great place to, like, kind of launch a practice from and then kind of get guidance from that instructor on, like, how to... keep up a schedule of this.
Lots of people now are doing, like, you know, some sort of combo one-on-one sessions and like programming, which provides a little bit of accountability. That can be nice for some people.
So the main advantage, I think, of one-on-one coaching is you can tailor it to the individual. So if someone comes to me and we're doing a lesson and they tell me like they want to learn how to handstand, I'm going to just start off with like, okay, what kind of experience do you have with this? Like, what do you know how to do? Or like, do you practice handstands? And I ask them to show me what they do. And from there, I can like look at basically from the ground up and kind of figure out like, okay, what is like the first thing we can look at? Like leaving out all like the, like, what do you want to accomplish with a handstand? But, you know, these sort of questions are like the kind of things that a coach can like help you clarify is like, what is your real starting point? Like, what's the things that you need to work on? And then also kind of help you understand like potential timelines for learning things to kind of keep realistic expectations, but then also like what the process is going to look like and like how you need to work on it.
Not to sound like we're, you know, kind of tooting our own horn when it comes to coaching, but I would say if you are looking to start a handstand practice and one-on-one coaching feels like the most appealing option for you, really don't be afraid to kind of shop around a little bit. And I would say there should be some element of like assessing in your first session. You know, if someone comes in and they just have a formula or a recipe for getting you to handstand, I'd be a little bit skeptical because every person's anatomy is different. Their movement background is different. So a lot of questions in the first session from the coach, I think, is appropriate. Like if you have really, really tight shoulders and it's hard for you to get your arms overhead and there's no mention of that in the first session with a coach, you might struggle with their programming a bit.
Yeah. But, you know, once you take a, you don't even need to take a private lesson as the first thing you do, but it can be helpful just to kind of like help familiarize yourself with like what might be the important things with handstands. But, you know, it can be like, it's a big commitment to like take a lot of different private lessons. I personally have over a long period of time, I've kind of like tried to take lessons with a lot of different people. But there is also something to be said, like if private lessons are your route, like when you find a coach that like works for you, who kind of like makes you enjoy practicing with them and you feel like you're getting the results you want, then like a lot of times it is better just to kind of like stay with one coach. But it's also like a lot of commitment to one person. And like, I know I don't often practice very well in that way. I have like some coaches that like I'm particularly fond of at this point. But like at this point, like I don't like subscribe to any. I think it's generally better when you don't like have like one teacher, one true guru.
Yeah, but try to avoid like that guru kind of dynamic. But I don't want to speak for both of us, but I think it's also very plausible to start your journey in group classes, because if you're coming in and you don't have a ton of familiarity with the movement and the mobility required and the strength, classes is really going to be like your conditioning grounds, where you're just going to get a lot of like drills and strengthening exercises, at least in the way that we teach classes. If we have a 60-minute class, I would say like a good 20 minutes of it is mobility, flexibility, conditioning and strength work and warming up. And that makes your body sort of understand like the load that's going to be required of it.
Yeah. So you can start in group classes. Group classes, I think, are like also like a great place to go once you've had like some level of an assessment from someone. But group classes are really great in the way that they take pressure off you in one way, but then they are going to be more accessible. They're going to be, it's going to be easier to take five classes a week than it would be to take five private lessons a week, or even take three group classes a week or one group class a week. But yeah, the group classes, like Emily said, we are a place that we're, you're able to go over all the conditioning. They can warm you up properly for your handstand. A lot of people don't realize like a handstand, like probably isn't the best place to start like a handstand practice just because like, you know, it's the wrists take, if your wrists are not conditioned for this, like my wrists don't start off like just ready to go for a handstand. I usually have to take a little bit of time to like warm things up, and like have to warm up my shoulders. Like, so, you know, I can get a handstand done when I'm cold, but that's like because I can stop a handstand in one place. If I was like rocking around a lot, it would probably hurt pretty bad.
Yeah. So maybe it sounds like we're sort of recommending in a ideal situation, you certainly don't have to take this specific pathway. Maybe get one or two sessions with a coach, someone that you know to have like a really strong practice from your yoga studio, or is recommended by a friend, or someone you follow online.
Yeah,
and then hop into classes for a while. And then I think we've both experienced this feeling of, once you get to a certain point, the group classes don't quite have the enough individualized drills. You know, this is beyond, well beyond when you can balance a handstand and you're working on advanced training. And then maybe you go back to one-on-one coaching.
Yeah.
When you need it.
I think that like a great way to look at it is like one-on-one coaching is really for asking questions, and like group classes are really for
going through a practice.
Going through the practice, yeah, exactly. So, like, we definitely, you'll definitely get some level of feedback within a group class, but, like, you know, group classes are generally going to be limited to, like, an hour to an hour and a half, and there, it's hard to give individual feedback to a lot of different people. And it's hard to kind of follow up on the feedback. So, if you reach a sticking point, I think that is a great place to kind of like seek out that individualized instruction. But if you kind of know what your goal is and you just want to stay consistent towards it, the group classes are a great way to kind of get a little bit of like novelty, get fresh drills. Even just like I find like I just keep a better pace a lot of times if I find a group class that's the right level for me, just because
someone's telling you to do the next thing.
Yeah, it's it's harder to get distracted.
Less checking of Instagram.
Less checking of Instagram, indeed.
So
one other thing, one layer earlier than that, there's a lot of material out there. So there's like paid material out there. There's lots of like video programs and like programs that you can like that are preset, and there's a lot of like really good information in those. There's also a lot of free content on like YouTube of varying degrees of quality, but like some of the best in the world have like tutorials that are like great, that are free on YouTube. So like, I think taking a look at the information that's available to you and like using it until like you're feel like you need more or you're like have hit a sticking point. And then like upping the level, the higher the level of instruction, or the higher level goals you have, like the like more specific your teachers may need to be. But you know, at the beginning, just getting into the habit of practicing is really the big thing.
Finding the online content and the group classes also allows you to experience perhaps multiple different teachers and kind of find things that really resonate with your learning style and also with your body. You know, if you take classes at a studio and there's several different teachers, and then you take a class at one point that's like, oh, wow, I just had like 3 light bulb moments in this class. Maybe I'll do a private lesson with that coach.
Yeah, but it's also like, it's possible to also overload on information and even guidance. Like sometimes you need to pace yourself at a slightly different pace and like take more tries at a single thing than like a group class might do. Like, you know what, at a certain point, like if you know the entrance that's like getting really consistent for you to handstand, like you might just want to set aside like 30 minutes where you're just going to try to do that. Or like you might just want to like after some kind of yoga class or acro class, like you just find like a wall and you're like trying to come off the wall. So let's actually use this as a moment to transition. We, in our experience, so quick plug, Warrior Bridge is a great place to take handstand classes, both online and in person.
We're about to give you our magic formula for starting handstands.
Yeah. So in our
100% guaranteed.
Yeah. In our group classes, in our handstand classes, the way we kind of approach teaching people how to balance a handstand, once we get through like body positioning, like arching, hollow, like what it means to protract, we go through all these like little recipes of like alignment and drills to reinforce them. When it actually comes to like how do you practice handstands, we have about 4 categories of drills that we break it into. So this first one could be a little bit of like a, this could be the warm up for it, or it could be just kind of an auxiliary practice, but what we would call preparatory balances and positions. So the positions might be things like, you know, hollow bodies and planks and even down dog, or the position I call Houston, like a position that you're about to do a press handstand from, that like standing pike position.
And then there's balances like crow pose or a tuck planche or
headstand, forearm stand, anything that's like in this realm of handstanding, even like the feet up trainers, the shoulder stand trainers, kind of like how I found the benefit in acro of getting to stay in inversion on someone's feet. It turns out they make like a little toilet seat that you can stick your head in that lets you do the same thing without there being a person underneath you breathing in these times.
So, you know, kind of getting some time inverted, either on your hands or on forearms or in a tripod headstand or whatever it is, understanding what balance is without having to be in the hardest position to balance, which is a handstand.
So when I was doing, when I was learning yoga, becoming a yoga teacher, one thing that I really appreciated in one of the styles we did, rocket yoga, was every class included jumping forward and backwards in like sun salutations from the front of the mat. It involved, there was crow pose, there was forearm stand, there was often a headstand, and then there was like opportunities for handstands and other arm balances. So you got like a lot of experience trying to do these different things, different inversions. And because you're staying consistent with your practice, you just get repetitions and you get better at them. And over time you can improve. Now you don't need to do all of those things. And especially because you're trying to teach people how to do like a lot of different things in that kind of class, it's hard to really like go into all that much detail about like handstand alignment and such. But I think these can be great tools to assist.
Yeah, if you're learning handstand and don't yet balance a handstand, finding something that you can balance to spend some time in, and just developing intuition about how to correct and prevent yourself from falling. I think forearm stand, like, it's undersold. Like, I feel like I need to start doing more of it in my classes too, because it is a handstand with a larger hand, basically.
Yeah, good old forearm stand. And some of these things also have, like, their own challenges. Like, you know, crow pose makes you, like, use a lot of, like, hand strength and wrist strength. Forearm stand is, like, a big challenge on your shoulder mobility and, like, upper back mobility. And then the other ones, like, sometimes are like, oh, can you twist and, like, keep your shoulders, like, stable at the same time? Or can you be in this straddle position, like a Tadasana, and, like, keep your arms straight or, like, push the ground away? But once we get, so those are all great things to, supplement like a handstand practice. But ultimately, if you want to be able to do a handstand, so like relatively straight arms with your, body stacked in, yeah, stacked in a way that's like maintainable for you, then that there's only a few things that we really need to. There's a few basic categories that we would, the last three categories, we break the beginning handstand drills into.
Which means being in a handstand.
Being in a handstand and in these drills.
So, you know, if you want a handstand, you should handstand.
So this one, jumping, or entrances in the middle of the room. So usually the split jump is a great place to start. It can be a little bit intimidating if you're afraid of falling over. So, like, you know, learning how to fall is a big part of this, or learning, like, what the things you can do should it go wrong. So I happen to have, like, learned, I was attempting to walk on my hands when I first started handstanding. So when I was, like, a teenager, so
by definition, you're moving your hands.
Yeah, right? So when I went to balance a handstand, I just, like, started walking, and it was actually like, oh, how do I make myself stop walking? So, like, going really slow and just trying to, like, kick up, sometimes your body will just, like, instinctually do it. There's also, like, drills for learning how to fall, but doing cartwheels is a great way to learn how to fall out.
I mean, yeah, I can't speak highly enough of understanding cartwheeling. It just makes you inherently aware that your hands are able to move on the floor and stop your momentum. So jumping in the middle of the room, incorporating as part of that jumping practice some amount of, like, moving your hands if you need to fall out. Otherwise, like, Sean describes this process a lot in learning to stay in a handstand and not walk, starting in, like, a downward dog sort of position, maybe a short downward dog.
With your shoulders already over your hands.
Yep, kind of lean your shoulders over your hands and just take progressively larger controlled hops towards a handstand.
Yeah, and that's what I did when I wanted to learn how to stay still in a handstand. Now I had, like, the background that kind of, I was not afraid of falling over, but I remember I took a class in my yoga teacher training. There was, like, an inversion class. And when we got to handstand, I basically tried to do what I knew how to do, which was, like, start standing on my feet, like, all the way up with my arms overhead and try to kick up and walk around. And I forget, like, if I did exactly that, but when I tried to kick up, I started walking. So then I was like, how can I asked the teacher, like, how do you stop yourself from walking? And he was like, come back down and try again. It was like, ah, shit, okay. So it was like really square one. How do I, like, stop? So, like, I had the bright idea, like, start in a short down dog. And eventually I learned, like, okay, just start, like, already kind of in the hands. And I would try to kick up, and then I would come down slowly. Now, that was kind of, like, a nice advantage because I was, like, pretty young, strong, and relatively flexible at the time. But like just like that process of trying to go up and like coming down slow, sometimes you have to step your hand, you get stronger and more comfortable.
And this can work for different kinds of jumps as well. You can do that in a split jump, but you can also like kind of frog style,
bent knee,
donkey kicks.
Bent knee straddle, Thanksgiving turkey sort of shape, wide knee tuck, however
and the,
you want to think of it.
The common theme across all of those is trying to go about it in a way that you can predict what's going to happen. So like you try to jump and it didn't quite go far enough. So maybe you give it a little bit more gas the next time without just flinging yourself over. And then if it doesn't make it or it goes too far or, you know, you don't nail the handstand, trying to slow your descent every time. Like we're not crash landing on the feet every single time.
Yeah. So I think about this part of it as like target practice, essentially. You're learning how to get there and you're developing like the strength and awareness to get there. You're learning not to flinch. This is kind of like a big thing, is like developing like a calm mindset, calm engagement as you're attempting to handstand. And then we also have the wall, which is kind of like the big topic, is like, should you use, which way should you face when you're using the wall? And both of them, in our opinion, are valuable. So we look at belly to wall handstand, like your fingers are facing away from the wall. This is a drill. This handstand works with the idea that you haven't quite gotten up to the handstand yet. You're underbalanced. You're still falling back to the wall. And these drills can either be used for kind of alignment or they can be used for learning how to come over your hands.
So if your weight is leaning against the wall with your belly facing the wall, you haven't quite made it over your hands yet. And you can do different drills with leg shapes, with making your shoulders travel forward in a way that eventually stacks the weight over your hands, and then you try to stay there.
Yeah, bringing the weight forward over the hands and then like trying not to fall over would be kind of the thing. Because this, you can come off the wall and it's like, yay, and now I made it up the handstand, but now you have to stop yourself from falling over. So to stop ourselves from falling over in a handstand, the back-to-wall handstand is a great place to start. Because that one, it works with this scenario that you kicked up to your handstand and you went past it. You are falling past your handstand and you need to save it. So these drills help us learn how to stop the overbalance.
So a lot of people will denigrate back-to-wall drills. Some people will, I think. But it does give you the information of like, I kicked up, I found the wall, which means you're past the handstand. And now what are the strategies your body can use to come away from the wall? Those are the same strategies you're going to use in the middle of the room if you feel like your handstand went a little bit too far.
Yeah, so there's various ways to do any of these drills. And like the drills are really only as good as they are done. So like that's where like having an instructor who can like watch how you're doing the drills and kind of make you confident that you're doing them like in the way that's like the most relevant for the skill will be like really valuable. But you can, once you know these different categories, they basically connect into being able to practice handstanding. So like if you have a headstand and a crow pose and a forearm stand, you can do those things as kind of ways to get in your body and kind of get like warmed up to balance. And then you can alternate between belly to wall, back to wall drills, and entrance drills.
Yeah. So you kind of have the front back directions all covered in those categories. And then we sort of mentioned this when we were talking about where to start. But from there, it's kind of just consistency. Taking one handstand class per week and not doing anything in between, you'll learn and maybe you'll get stronger. But the actual like neurological component of like understanding balance just requires repeating and repeating and repeating. You don't have to wear yourself out. You don't have to destroy your wrists doing it. But I would say making some time, several days a week, to just try things. It's important. Yeah.
So working with the resources that you have available, I think, is kind of, and not being stressed about it, keeping the practice fun, is really the thing that's going to like kind of lead to success. If you have access to classes and it's like that feels like a way that it kind of like keeps you going, then taking classes is great. If you know the drills that you need to practice and you feel like you're making good progress with them, practicing them and like at a pace that like you can recover from, but also like you're excited about it. Because ultimately, like if you're excited about handstanding and excited about practicing, like you'll make it work.
And once you get that first little taste of balance, you will be excited about it. It's very addictive.
Yeah. So hopefully that was fun for you.
We gave you a little map to start your handstand practice if you don't have one already.
Yeah. So like start with what's available, go slow, be nice to yourself. Don't stress about it too much.
Don't compare too much on social media.
Don't brag too much. But, you know, like celebrate your victories.
And come find us. Hit us up online.
We teach handstand classes for all levels, beginners and advanced, in person, online. Warrior Bridge is our studio. We have like 2 handstand classes a day every day. So it's a decent resource, if I do say so. There's an on-demand library that I think there's a commercial with Emily saying these things after. But
shout out Michal for editing these episodes. I'm sure we'll talk about handstands again in the future.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. Great work, everyone. Great
talk
work,
Michal.
Great work, audience, listeners.
Tune in again next week. We'll see you then.
Peace out, yo.
Warrior Bridge is a leading provider of online instruction in handstands, flexibility, movement, and partner acrobatics. Classes are filmed daily from our downtown Manhattan studio and live streamed around the globe to meet you wherever you are in the world. Our classes offer students the unique opportunity to receive real-time feedback and answers from expert instructors and connect to a movement community that spans the globe. If you aren't able to attend class in real time, you can catch class replays at any time via our on-demand library. Head over to warriorbridge.com to learn more.